Okay, ladies. So yesterday we learned the Gemara on Chaf Beis Amid Beis about Es Hashem Elokecha Tira L'Rabbos Talmidei Chachamim, and we pointed out what seems to me to be a Machlokes Harishonim about what type of Talmud Chacham are we talking about. If you remember, Tosfos in Bava Kamma says that we're talking about a Rabbo Muvhak, who is the Rebbe that is Rov Chachmaso Mimenu. That's the way it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That's what Rabbo Muvhak means. And Tosfos in Bava Kamma says, also Gadol Hador counts as Rabbo Muvhak. That's what Tosfos said. And we pointed out that Tosfos seems to be going something like Rashi over here, that Rashi says that the bar is pretty high. Es Hashem Elokecha Tira means someone who's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the sense of Shehei Mora Rabcha Kamora Shamayim. That it should be like Mora Shamayim, that's like you fear God, you fear your Rebbe the same way. That's what Rashi said. We pointed out, however, that the Me'iri has a less ambitious definition of what Es Hashem Elokecha Tira means. According to the Me'iri, it effectively means don't put down your Rebbe, no? Or don't put down any Talmud Chacham. Don't lower the stature. So we noted that for the Me'iri, it's not only Rabbo Mavhak, it's not only the Gadol Hadar. Presumably, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira applies to every Talmud Chacham on the planet. That's the way we set it up yesterday, and I am not backing down from this. If you think that I began tonight to say, oh, by the way, I was wrong about everything, no. Not saying that. I still believe that this is correct. I want to add to it, though. I just sent around a piece from the Sefer Emek Bracha. I just sent it on the Shir WhatsApp group. The Emek Bracha is Reb Aryeh Pomarchik. He was a student both of the Chazon Ish and Reb Volvo. And this piece in Emek Bracha actually has strong echoes of Reb Volvo in it. Reb Volvo is the Rav's uncle, the Griz, Reb Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, which is a book that I really thought we'd have in the Space Medrash, and I really thought I would not have to run across the street to look at it again, but apparently I was wrong. We do not have it in the Space Medrash. By the way, they also do not have it in the Beren Campus Space Medrash, where I was last night, and I was looking for it last night, and they didn't have it there either. So if any of you are in charge of Kinyan Sfarim in the Beren Campus Space Medrash, put it on the list. So Reb Volvo Soloveitchik points out, and we'll talk about the Emek Bracha in a minute, that if you read the Rambam in Perek Hey of Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam has dinim of Rabbo Mavhak. And in Perek Vav of Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam has dinim of every Talmud Chacham. The Rambam splits between these dinim. And in fact, in the Rambam, it's very clear that for a Rabbo Mavhak, the chiyuv of standing up is as soon as you see your Rabbo Mavhak come in, you have to stand up. That's what the Rambam writes. For Rabbo She'eno Mavhak, the chiyuv to stand up is only when you are within Davar Amos. There are other dinim that we mentioned yesterday in passing, that in Shulchan Aruch it says that there's a mitzvah of Kriya, right? And that din of Kriya is on Rabbo Mavhak, it says in Shulchan Aruch. If it's a regular Talmud Chacham, there's no din of Kriya. We pointed out in terms of who counts as the Gadol Hadar. I told you that I taught Kriya for Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, the final of Racha, but I don't hear Kriya for everyone who just makes it to the front page of the Yated Neman. There are different dinim of Rabbo Mavhak than there is of any other Rav. And Reb Volvo explains that this is because for Rabbo Mavhak, we're learning from Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. However, every other Talmud Chacham we derive from a different pasuk. The Torah says, "V'hadarta p'nei zaken." No, "Mipnei seva takum v'hadarta p'nei zaken." Seva means an older person. You have to stand up for an older person. Most poskim assume that means someone over the age of 70. The Arizal writes that anyone over the age of 60 is considered a seva. That's an age then. V'hadarta p'nei zaken, a zaken, the Gemara tells me in Kedushin, is not an old person, but a zaken is zeshekana chacham. Meaning, there's a chiyuv to honor everyone who's kona chochma. Reb Velvel is explaining that these are two separate psukim, in that, just like Tosfos says in Bava Kamma, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, is only for Rabbo Muvhak and Gadol Hadar, who's also Rabbo Muvhak, that is that pasuk. That's our Gemara. V'hadarta p'nei zaken is any Talmud Chacham. The Gemara in Kiddushin tells me that Harav Shemachal al Kivodo, Kivodo Machal. Reb Velvel in his essay points out that the din of Mechiwa is only Shaykh by Rabbi Mulfak. It's like a frightening idea, but any Talmud Chacham can't be Mochel, only your personal Rebbe, right? Which, by the way, Rav Salvechik used to say, Rabbi Mulfak means the person who gave you your gisha to life, the person who gave you your approach to Talmud Torah. There's a question I saw in one of the Sfarim I was looking at today, the Birkas Avraham has a question, can a person have more than one Rabbi Mufak? It would seem from Rav Soloveitchik's approach, it's not Shaykh, because the Rabbi Mufak is the one who gives you your methodology of thinking. Now, it is possible that over life, you first have one methodology, then you get a different one. And you switch yeshivas, and you get a new Rebbe, right? That's possible. But at any time, or you should only have one Rabbi Mufak, in the regular personal Rabbi Mufak sense, in the Gadol Hadar, it's clear there could be more than one Gadol Hadar. I don't think it's realistic that there's only one Gadol Hadar. But the point is, the reason why there is Mechila and Rabbi Mufak is because that Rabbi Mufak, that Rebbe of yours, owns the respect that's due to him or her. Right? There's no evidence anywhere, by the way, that Rabbi Mufak has to be a male figure. Good? For the record. But the point is that I have a personal relationship with my Rabbi Mufak. He taught me a gisha to life. He taught me just the way I think about sugyas. He taught me the way I, everything in learning. So that person could be mochel. But v'hadarta p'nei zaken, Reb Velvel says, is not shayach to mechila, because v'hadarta p'nei zaken is not something that's mine. It's something that there's an inyan to respect every Talmud Chacham, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to respect every Talmud Chacham. And if I'm a Talmud Chacham, it's not coming to me. It's God says you have to respect the Talmud Chacham. So therefore, the Gemara has an expression in Kedushin that even if your Rebbe is Mochel, and your Rebbe says you don't have to stand up, but Hidr Miyam Abay, you still have to do like the yeshiva shakal, you know, like that thing. Right? You don't have to stand up because it's not Rabbi Mufak. Or you don't have to stand up because Rabbi Mufak was mochel on what comes to him as Rabbi Mufak. But still, hider mi mivaya, because your Rabbi Mufak is at least a regular Talmud Chacham, and you can't be mochel on that aspect, on the universal Talmud Chacham dimension. I can't be mochel on. This is all, by the way, this is the first piece in Reb Velvel Sefer. We'll get to the Emek Bracha in a minute after Abigail has her rebuttal of my comments.
What's the shalom? It's not a rebuttal.
Okay, it's just my whatever. Yes.
I would actually just think it's interesting that it's not the opposite. Like The Rebbe Mohawk comes from the pasuk that relates to Yirat Hashem, and it's interesting that that's the problem that you could be mohawk on. But you would think that it wouldn't be the case.
Right. So, now, so you would think that Yira, you can't be mochal on at all. However, we know that Ish Imova Aviv Tira'u, and a parent is allowed to be mochal on their kavod and their mora. No? A parent is allowed to say, you don't have to stand up for me. Meikar din, we're supposed to stand up when our parents walk into the room. No? Most of our parents are mochal on that. The question is, though, how far the mechila can go. Or there's another way of saying it, which is, you know, the Gemara, Tosfos in Kedushin quotes from Yerushalmi that one of the Tanoim had a mother who was a little bit nuts, and she had a thing that she was so attached to her son because her son's a big Talmud Chacham, whatever it was, she used to wash his feet. And then she would drink the water after she washed his feet. It's kind of gross. We agree that it's gross. Fine. So the Gemara asks this Tana, like, how have you let your mother do this? So he said something to the effect of Zehu Kavoda, which means, and I think Baruch Be'er explains it this way, that a person has a right to define what's considered kavod for that person. Right? So it could be that mechila is not a complete type of mechila, but it's a redefinition, right? It's defining deviancy down, or it is saying, you know what, for my mother, this is her covet. She wants to drink that water. She considers that a covetic thing for her. So how can I stop it? That's another variable to include. But let's just go back to Revelvel. Revelvel was saying that there are two dinim, and they are two different prakim in the Rambam. Perek Hay is about Rabbo Muvhak. Perek Vav is about any Talmud Chacham. The halacha of Mechila is only shayich by a Rabbo Muvhak. Now, this is relevant for Hilchos Leil HaSeder. Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, we're there already. So Talmud Bifnei Rabbo, the Gemara says, in Tzarech HaSeba, no? That if you're at a Seder with your Rebbe, most people don't have that experience because the practice is that you go home for Pesach. That's standard Jewish practice. But this year, a lot of people in Israel, my daughter was telling me that she's staying in Israel and they might all be having their Seder with Dr. Goldstein, with the head of their Midrashah. My daughter's in Amudim. So Talmud Lefnei Rabbo, Einu Tzarech HaSeber. What type of Rebbe are we talking about? So if you look at this piece in Emek Bracha that I sent around, so the Emek Bracha, here, why don't you tell me what he says? Right, so he quotes the Shulchan Aruch, that Shulchan Aruch says what? Even Rabbo She'enu Mofak. And then he quotes that this is a Gemara in Psachim, and the Rosh writes that this is true, even for Rabbo She'enu Mofak. But the Rambam sounds like that the mitzvah of Mora only applies to Rabbo Mofak. The mitzvah Mora leko be Rabbo She'enu Mofak. There's only a mitzvah of kibud, not a mitzvah of Mora. Right? This is the Lashon HaRambam, Kishem Shadam Mitzvah Bekvod Aviv V'yirato, Kachu Chaya Bekvod Rabbo V'yirato. And the Halacha Tesi writes, this is only by Rabbo Muvhak. And Tosfos in Bava Kama, which is our Tosfos, says that Mora only applies to Rabbo Muvhak. If that's the case, so then Rabbo She'enu Muvhak, you would have to do Haseba. Right? In came the feed of Rehim Vadai, the Rabbo She'enu Muvhak, you would have to do Haseba. And therefore, Shulchan Aruch is difficult. How come it says that by Rabbo, Shulchan Aruch is difficult. Why does Shulchan Aruch pass him like the Rush? It should say that you have to be notor Rishus from your Rebbe because it's a suffix whether you need Haseba, right? It seems like the Shulchan Aruch has assumed that you definitely do not need Haseba, but according to the Rambam, what would emerge is that you do need Haseba with Rabbo She'enu Mufak. Okay, so let's go slowly. The Emek Bracha is saying the same distinction that we had until now, that there's a difference between Rabbo Mufak and Rabbo She'enu Mufak. And the Emek Bracha is saying that when the Gemara tells me that you do not need Haseba, the Talmud Lifnei Rabbo in Sarach Haseba, that means only by Rabbo Mufak. But by Rabbo She'enu Mufak, you do need Haseba. Now, Lucha Ora, if we put two and two together, we end up with the following idea also. If the din would be that by Rabbo Mufak, you do not need Haseba, according to our version of the Rambam, Rabbo She'enu, if you can tell me that by Rabbo She'enu Mufak, you don't need Haseba, so then Rabbo She'enu Mufak cannot give you permission to lean either. The standard practice is that if you're at a Seder with your Rebbe, beginning of the Seder, you ask, Rebbe, am I allowed to lean? No? But L'cha'ora, if it's Rabbo She'enu Mufak, according to this piece in Revelvel, the Rabbo She'enu Mufak could not give you permission to lean, because the Rabbo She'enu Mufak cannot be mochel. If there would be a din that you don't have to lean, so the Rabbo She'enu Mufak would not be able to tell you, no, 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 you're allowed to lean, because mechila is only on the Rabbo Mufak. So therefore, it's beautiful that the Rambam paskins that the Talmud Lifnei Rabbo, if it's a Rabbo She'enu Mufak, is Tzarech Haseba. Because if it would be in Tzarech Haseba, then you could never do it because the Mechila would not be Shayach. Was this a little too convoluted? Should I repeat this? I should repeat it.
Yeah.
We're going to try. Unless one of you, sometimes it works better. Does one of you want to try to explain this to Adina, or do you want to throw it back at me? You want to try? Okay, you try.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Just the math.
Yeah.
Okay. Which part? The last part?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that it's that we're saying because if you're this is the Rambam. Because if you're Rabbi She'enu Mufak, it's not within your like right to be mochel your own kavod. So therefore, your student or whatever would have to do Haseba because it's not for you to give away, to be mochel your kavod.
They have to do Haseba?
Because is that thing with Haseba that...
Haseba is considered disrespectful.
Okay, fine.
Because
right.
Like...
You're like leaning, whatever.
Right. Okay. And you're acting like a king in front of your Rebbe and sepastnished.
Okay. So you can only do that in front of...
So,
unless your Rebbe, you have to not.
So the Gemara said that the Talmud in presence of the Rebbe does not have Ein Tzarech Haseba. Right? That's what the Gemara says.
If you ask your Rebbe.
So Ein Tzarech Haseba means, as a matter of halacha, you don't have to lean. But if you ask the Rebbe gives Rishus and then you do lean. Right? That's the way it usually works.
Okay.
Now the Rambam understands that Gemara. When we say Talmud Lifnei Rabbo Ein Tzarech Haseba, the Rambam understands that that's talking about only Rabbo Mufak. But Rabbo She'enu Mufak, according to the Rambam, has to do Haseba. And that actually is consistent, because were the halacha to be that Rabbo She'enu Mufak does not have to do Haseba, so then the Rabbo She'enu Mufak would not be able to be mochel and say do Haseba. Ms. Verschleiser, how's Judaism?
It's
getting there. Okay.
Wait, so this is only because Rambam holds that you wouldn't be able to, that a normal Rebbe or the She'enu Mufak can't be mochel.
Correct, can't be mochel.
But if the Shulchan Aruch hold that a Rebbe could be mochel, would
So the Shulchan Aruch interestingly hold that even a rabbi she'eno muvhak can be mochel. If you look in that piece, which I should have taken a picture of in Reb Velvel, the last paragraph of that first essay in Reb Velvel Soloveitchik, he says, yeah, but everything I'm saying is against Shulchan Aruch. Because Shulchan Aruch writes that even a rabbi she'eno muvhak can be mochel, and he developed this whole this entire idea that for Maimonides, Rabbi She'eno Mufak does not have the capability of Mechila. Again?
Isn't that what Soloveitchik did? They'd go according to the Rambam.
I'm not sure.
No,
I'm not. Reb Velvel Soloveitchik, yeah.
Right, so isn't it obvious that he's going according to the Rambam as opposed to Shulchan Aruch? Not for a whole lot.
Yeah, of course.
That's what they do.
No, but the point that he's making is that Shulchan Aruch disagrees with this analysis. He's not backing down from his analysis. He's saying that, again, if you're a real brisker, we don't really care what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Right? Real briskers are into, okay, I have an analysis based on the Rambam, so that will determine practical Judaism. I think we cut you off, Sarah.
So Shulchan Aruch is consistent within his own approach to the situation. And
correct.
Rambam, but they don't.
Right. Shulchan Aruch is consistent in that Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rush.
Yeah.
Right. And Shulchan Aruch assumes that you do not have to do Haseba. Talmud b'fnei Rabbo, even Rabbo she'eno mochak does not have to do Haseba, but the Rebbe can be mochel. Because Shulchan Aruch consistently holds that Mechila is Shayach even by Rabbo She'eno Mufak. But the Rambam holds, now if we would put things together more broadly, perhaps the Shulchan Aruch, the Rush, all these positions are learning our Gemara like the Me'iri, that Es Hashem Lokecha Tira is a din, even on Rabbo She'eno Mufak. They are not splitting between the limud of the Hadarta Pnei Zaken and Es Hashem Lokecha Tira. They're assuming that they are referring to the same person, and that is basically Judaism as we have summarized it. Good? Nama, how is Judaism?
It's great. Practically?
Yes. Oh, halacha l'maisa?
Yeah.
So halacha l'maisa, I think we follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Like, there's a difference between giving shiur and, practically speaking, if you're at a seder with your Rebbe, right? So then what you should do is ask permission to do haseba, and even if that Rebbe is not your Rebbe Mufak, even if it's a Rebbe that you were just studying with for 1 year, 1 semester, whatever it is, it's not someone who gave you a gisha to life, nonetheless, the assumption is that you can be mochel, that Rebbe can be mochel. That's correct.
Okay. So I think not so. Really ever a situation where you don't do a seva.
Correct. Again, in our world, I think so, yeah. In our world, one of my friends ended up eating a Pesach Seder with Rav Schechter. And Rav Schechter begins the Seder and says, in case you were thinking that you shouldn't do a seva, I'm telling you that you should. So that's okay, got it. Thank you very much.
But what if someone who's not your Rebbe Mufak gives you permission to do a seva, but then it's not kavodik to not listen to them?
Right. In other words, in Rambam world, that's a real question.
Okay.
Right? Because there is, got it. It's an interesting point. Questions or comments from the Zoom chevra? No questions or comments. Okay, excellent. So this is, so that's the first point. Let's begin the next Gemara. The Gemara, remember, we have Rabbi Avohu says that whenever the Torah says Lo Yochal, there's an Isser Hana'ah. Rabbi, and what's it called? Chizkiyah says that the Isser Hana'ah is only when it says Lo Ye'achel. The Gemara asks, what about Orla? What does the Torah say by Orla? Yeah. Which one? Lo ye achel.
Yeah.
Right? Varatam aloso es per yosha lo shanim yulacha arelim lo ye achel. So there's an Isser Hana'ah on the fruits the first 3 years of that fruit. It is called Arla. That's the din. By the way, Arla applies not only in Eretz Yisrael, Arla applies in Chutzla Eretz also. Right? Ordinarily, mitzvahs hatzulius ba'aretz, ordinary agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Arla, the Gemara tells me in Kedushin, is an exception. There's a halacha Meishim Sinai that Arla is usher in Chutzla Eretz. Like 2 years ago or something, my sister calls me up. She's like, you know, I bought some blueberries a couple months ago and they are producing fruit. Am I allowed to have the fruit? There's a shayla of Arla, no?
She bought like a blueberry tree.
So you buy a sapling.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And you put the sapling in the ground. Now, of course, part of the question is, when you buy a sapling, it's been around for some time, no? So you have to make a cheshbin about how old it is. It happens that Suffolk Arla and Chutzla Eretz is mutter. Not only is Suffolk Arla and Chutzla Eretz mutter, but the Gemara in Kedushin tells me, Sapekli ve'echol, that I'm allowed to tell you, give me Suffolk Arla, and I'm gonna make a bari priya eitz and eat it.
About if someone in
Kfar can
give or something that they know to be
Orla
as
Mishloach
Manos to someone else who doesn't think that it's Orla.
Yeah. So who gave this year? Right. So, I mean, the answer probably is yes, because we paskin, I'm allowed to create a Suffolk Lechatchila. Suffolk Arla is Mutter. Mershekhi likes to quote some essay by Rebbe Chanan that Suffolk Arla is Heter Gomor. In other words, there's no Isser Arla until you know for sure that it is Arla. Similarly, Suffolk Avelos is Mutter, in the sense of the way Rav Shechta tells the story. Let's say I know that somebody's father died. He or she doesn't know yet. And they're at a wedding. I can dance with the person and like have a ton of fun. Right? There's no Isser Avelos until you know that the relative died. There's no Isser Arla until you know it's Arla. Right? There's a few situations that the Isser is only Betores Vadai. There's no Isser Kozman that you don't know. The Yediyah creates the Isser. So the Gemara asks, Arla, the Torah says, Vayayafel. But still, I have three psukim that tell me that Arla is Aser Bahana'a. It says some form of Arla three times in the Torah, no? V'araltem Arlaso, as per Yoshua Shem Yuchai, Arelem. Arlaso, right? V'araltem Arlaso, Arelem. Ms. Zaitchik, how are you?
Isn't it all in the same pasuk?
Yes.
Okay, so it's just saying it says the word.
The word Arla appears three times in that verse.
Right.
And that tells me three things. That it's usur bahana'ah, that it's usur to use as dye, and that it is usur to use as fuel of an oil. Right? Those are the three things that we learn from it. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara has a question. Why do you need these psukim, the three arlas? Why do you need these psukim to tell me that it's usur bahana'ah? I should learn it from the fact that it says lo ye'afel. So the Gemara answers. Call out, ladies. Well, zok the Gemara, there's another pasuk that it says shalosh shanim yiyeh lachem arelim. So lachem would mean that it is yours, and therefore it's not aser b'hanah. So if I would only have the word lo ye'achel, I would not learn iser hanah, because lachem would indicate that it is mutter b'hanah. Okay, grand. So therefore, I need the pasuk araltem or lasso to tell me that it's really aser b'hanah. So then the Gemara asks, 1 second. L'maisa, acharei kechlos hakol, Once it's aser bahana'a, what do you learn from that word lachem? Right? What does lachem tell me? Lachem would have told me that it's not aser bahana'a. But once I have these extra three arlas, whatever it is, so therefore it is aser bahana'a. So what do I learn from lachem? So the Gemara says, lachem tells me something in two opposite directions, machlokes chacham and Rabbi Yehuda, about whether there's arla if it's natu'ah l'rabbi. Right? That's the Gemara goes on to the top of Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, natu'ah l'rabbi in the sense of machlokes Rashi and Taisus. Rashi says natu'ah l'rabbi means that you plant the tree in Rishus HaRabbi. Tosa says, dude, you didn't read the second Mishnah in Arla, because the first Mishnah in Arla is about Natua L'Rabim. The second Mishnah is about Natua Bershus HaRabim. Obviously, it's two separate things. So therefore, Tosa says that Natua L'Rabim means I plant it in Rishus HaYochid, but I intend for it to be public usage. That's what Tosa says. But B'Kitzur HaMa'aseh, the Gemara says, I have the Pasuk L'Chem, which teaches me that Natua L'Rabim is either Usr as Arla or Mutar as Arla, depending on whether it's a Riboy Achar Riboy or not. That's Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and L'Chachamim. But the word Lachem teaches me something about Natua L'Rabim. But Acharei Kechol Sako, when all the dust settles, Arla is Usr Bahana'a, because I have the three Arelim, Lo Ye Achil would have been removed because of Lachem. And the word lachem still teaches me something when all the dust settles, that something relates to Natu al Rabim. Ms. Raplin.
Why is the dye and the fuel, why is that not come out?
That's a great kasha. That's an awesome kasha. That's Tysus's kasha. That's awesome. That's great. Right, you're Muhammad to Tysus's question. What? Yeah. That's okay. You should know when I was in like elementary school, so my Rebbe made us do this thing that like whenever we ask a question that was like a Rashi's question, whatever, we would stand up and say, Baruch Shekivanti. And it was like a whole thing in class. And I often like was, oh wow, this is like really interesting. You know, say, yes.
My Gemara teacher
made us stomach like a Gemara bracelet, and if
you
said the question of the
Gemara, you go,
okay.
So you would like gather them like at all.
You should know there's a yeshiva. There's a yeshiva that used to exist, and it doesn't exist anymore, perhaps for this reason, that the yeshiva was very into getting the guys to learn and to wean themselves off of art scrolls or off of English texts. So if anyone was caught with using a art scroll Gemara, they would have to sit in the corner of the Beis Medrash and wear a little hat that had a big A on it for art scroll. It's like a new version of a dunce cap. Now, I imagine that one of the reasons that I imagine one of the reasons why the yeshiva no longer exists is because that is called psychological torture. No? It's not much like the Scarlet Letter.
Yeah, I that's what I was thinking. That's but that is a dunce cap. It's not a new version of a dunce cap.
That's what it is.
Oh my god. It's actually like a dunce cap plus
time
out plus Scarlet Letter.
It, you get it all together. But one thing I could tell you about that yeshiva is when I used to be the bochen for YU, I was always impressed with the guys who came out of that yeshiva because they actually knew how to read Gemara. Again, they got there through shaming tactics. Agreed. But you know what? Whatever. Okay. Whatever. Let me just learn one Rashi with you on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, then I want to come back to do a little bit on the Gemara and Chaf Beis Amud Beis, including addressing Abigail's question. Let's just read this Rashi, the top of Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, Unetatem. Unetatem l'yachid mashma. Okay, so read that Rashi, Chavra, tell me what's Rashi saying. Rashi's actually saying a tremendous yisod. Unt hatem liyachid mashma. What's Rashi saying, Chaver? Anyone want to take a stab at it? De'ein, again, say it. Well, I think the Rashi is not talking about Rashut HaRabim. Rashi is saying, Untatem liyachid mashma. The derech of planting a tree is an individual plants a tree. It's not a communal activity. Right? That's what Rashi is saying. Untatem liyachid mashma. De'ein derech rabim lintoa. It's not normal for Rabbim to plant a tree. And when the Torah says untatem, it's speaking to every individual. The great paradox of the way Chumash works, and Rabbi Yonason Sacks, who used to be a Rosh Hashiva here in YU and is now the Rosh Hashiva of Flanders, wrote an article in the first Torah Mada journal, where he notes the fact that whenever the Torah speaks B'Loshon Rabbim, it's addressing the individual. When the Torah speaks B'Loshon Yochid, it's speaking to the Beis Din, or it's speaking to the Tzibur B'Chlal. It's like a little bit paradoxical, no? The Torah says, Usvartem Lachem, that you're supposed to count Sfira. Zakti Gemar Shetei Sfira L'cho Echad Be'echad. There's a mitzvah Sfira Sa'omer that every person has to count Sfira on their own. The Torah says, Ukachtem lochem bayom harishon, right? Shetehei lekicha l'ko echa be'echa. I can't be yotze lulav if you pick it up for me. I have to do it myself. Because since the Torah speaks for Lashon Rabbim, it's a mitzvah on the yachid. However, there's another pasuk in Parshas Bahar where the Torah says, V'safarta lecha sheva shabtot shanim, sheva shanim, sheva pamim. Right, there's a mitzvah of Svira toward Yovel that you have to count, right? 7 times 7, and then you have a Yovel year. That mitzvah is B'Safarta Lecha, that's a mitzvah on the Beis Din. Every Yochid does not have a mitzvah to count toward Yovel. The Beis Din has a mitzvah. That's the paradox. There are two mitzvahs in the Torah. Usfartem Lachem is the mitzvah Svira Sa'omer on the Yochid. V'safarta lecha is the mitzvah on the Beis Din. Slowly.
What does he do about Shema?
Shema. It says Vahavta is Hashem Elokecha. It's interesting. I don't know if I don't know if it works that whenever there's a pasuk b'loshen yochid, it has to mean for the rabbin. I think it means it can mean for the rabbin, but when I have the same pasuk in two different forms, what?
Right in the end of the hafta, the same
as
the end of the
hayah,
no?
Uchtavtam la'ot ayadecha v'yutav. Uchtavtam amasuzos orecha. So you're saying that the end of that is speaking to the tzibur, is speaking b'lashon rabbim, so that tells me that's a mitzvah on the yachid, yet at the beginning it sounds b'lashon yachid, which sounds like there's a mitzvah on the tzibur. So is there a dual mitzvah of like loving Hashem, basically? Is there, again, I don't know what it would mean. I don't remember. I mean, you could probably find the Torah Mada journal online. I'm sure you can, because, like, why not? Look at it. I haven't seen it in a very long time. But that's the point. I think that's the point that Rashi is getting at. Untatem lachem, Rashi is saying that goes on the yachid, that every individual plants the tree. Now, let's just make one other comment on the Rashi, and then we'll go to the Taisus. So Rashi writes on Chafez Amabez V'lo Yitzva Bo, Rashi writes, Kigon Beklipe Egozim, Shashomer Osir Mishum Erla Kipri Atmo. Rashi says that when the halacha is that you should not use the Erla as a dye, Rashi says, I'm talking about the Klipe Erla, like the peel. Why does Rashi say I'm talking about the peel? Why does Rashi not say the fruit? Ordinarily, when I talk about a fruit, I talk about a fruit. I know yesterday we spoke about the peels. Actually, this din that the shomer is asur, in the fancy gemaras, they send you to brachos lamed vavam beis for the din of shmira, the din of shomer l'tri, which is that special halacha that we learned from S that we spoke about yesterday. So why does Rashi over here say the klipe arla? Why does he not speak about the pri itself? Abigail?
It would only be barach hana'ah if the fruit, getting hana'ah from the fruit is not using it as dak, but getting hana'ah from the skin is using it as dak. So barach hana'ah.
That's correct. That's what the Pnei Yeshua says, right? This is your second Barsha Kivanti moment. So the Pnei Yeshua says that it's not normal to use the actual fruit itself as a dye. You use the peel of the fruit as a dye. You don't use the actual fruit as a dye, and therefore the actual fruit would be shalol kederech, and would be mutter to get hana'ah from it. You would be allowed to use it as a dye. Now, I should note also one other point as a collector's item. Our Gemara seems to be learning from the triple lashon in the same pasuk. Araltem, arlaso, arelem. Right? And that tells me three things. Hana'ah, tzviya, and burning. Right? Those are the three things. It's worth noting that the way we have the Gemara says, minayim shelo yehenem mimenu, shelo yitzbabo v'lo yadlikbo et haner. Right? The way our Gemara says, you have a shelo yehena mimenu, and then shelo yitzbabo. If you look in the parallel Gemara in Bava Kama, right? The Gemara in Bava Kama is exactly the same, but instead of a shin, you have a vav. Minayim shelo yehena mimenu v'lo yitzbabo. Right, the way we have the lashon of the Gemara, it would seem like shelo yitzbabo is an example of hana'ah. But according to the girsa in Bava Kama, shelo yehena mimenu v'lo yitzbabo, you get the impression that v'lo yitzbah might not be a real din of hana'ah. Right? With the shin, shelo yehena mimenu, shelo yitzbabo, it sounds like yitzbah is a form of hana'ah, nachon? But if I have a vav, it sounds like it's not a form of hana'ah. If you look at in the Gemara in Kedushin, again, if you just follow the Masoras Hashas over here, and you look at all the parallel Gemara, so it appears in Kedushin Nun Vav and Bava Kama Kuf Aleph. So in Kedushin Nun Vav, the Gemara has the shin, the same as the Gemara has by us, in Pesachim Chaf Beis. But over there, Rashi has an interesting line. Rashi writes, shelo yehene mimenu, kigon shelo yitzbabo. Right? In other words, Rashi in Kiddushin is saying that even though the Gemara says shelo yitzba, etc., or precisely because, right, that Rashi over there says that, Rashi over there says kigon, right, which means that it is a example of hana'ah. Let me just add one nekuda. Again, I don't know what to do with these points, or I know a little bit what to do with them. Our Rashi has a different girsa in the Gemara than our Gemara has. Our Gemara says, shelo yehena mimenu, shelo yitzbabo. No? And Rashi has, instead of a shin, a vav. You see that? Again, this is something. It's worth noting also that the she'iltos of Rabbi Choygon, Rabbi Choygon was like one of the earliest Gaonim. It's like early 10th century. He's like really early. So Rabbi Achoy Gon in the She'otos in Simen Kuf of the She'otos, he does not have three categories. He does not have Shelo Yehaneh Mimenu at all. He just says Shelo Yitzbabo V'lo Yadlik Bo Ataner. He does not have Shelo Yehaneh Mimenu. Now, if I take all of this and I bring it back to Abigail / Tosis's question, right? According to the She'otos, certainly there's no question. Because the She'otos does not have Shelo Yehaneh Mimenu. If you have the version of Rashi in Kiddushin, that Shelo Yitzbabo Velo Yadlikbo Et Haner is a Kigon, so there's also not really much of a question. We're just giving you two examples of Hanaa, and really I could have given dozens and dozens of other examples. The question is most pronounced if you have the vows. If you have Shelo Yehaneh Mimenu, Vilo Yitzbabo, Vilo Yadlika Taner, then the question is most pronounced. Yes?
Is there any Gersa that has Shelo Yadlika Taner? Because ours is a
Vav
also.
Yeah, so I'm not sure. I didn't look in the Dukduke Sofrim. Okay, it goes like this. If you want to find out, are there Gersos? So the Dikduke Sofrim is a book that was written by Rav Nosson, not to Rabinowitz. It is based on the Munich Ksav Yad of Shas. The only complete, did anyone go through this with you like when you began learning Gemara? Like this should be like one of the intros to Gemara. The only complete manuscript of Shas is Munich number whatever, whatever. Right? That's the Munich manuscript of Shas. That was printed in the Dikduke Sofrim. The Dikduke Sofrim, in his notes, quotes the versions that Rishonim have of the Gemara, but he only uses the manuscripts of the Munich manuscript. There are many other manuscripts of Shas, which are partial manuscripts. We used to have this thing called the Lieberman CD that JTS used to send around. I think now Sefaria has manuscripts on it. There are different Kisvei Yad of Shas. It's probably worthwhile investigating. I don't know the answer, though. I would say, though, that if I have the shin on the first clause and the vav, so that probably means that they are both examples of Shelo Yehaneh Mimenu. It's right, Shelo Yadlik, Shelo Yitzbah, Vilo Yadlika Taner is probably the same as Shelo Yitzbah, Shelo Yadlik, right? It's like a full colon, Shelo Yehaneh, and then etc. But if you have the Girsa with the vavs, so then I have a question. And that's Tosis's question. Tosis asks Akasha, Dibar Masko Minayin. Vim Tomach, Frek Tosis. Kevon de Nafgolon de Oser Bahanoa. Amai ifdruk lesser tzviya v'hadloka. Right, Tosis asks, if it's aser b'hana'ah, so then dying is a form of hana'ah. Not dying in the sense that you die, but dying in the sense that you color something. Right? That's also a form of hana'ah. And hadloka is a form of hana'ah. So Tosis's kasha is, just say it's aser b'hana'ah. You know this stuff. Apparently Tosis is not willing to use the kigon, the examples, the sheh. Right, Tosis probably has the gear, so the same as Rashi by us has it. The Omeri, the Salkadaitach the Tzviya lo chashav hanoa de lo hevi el chazusa ba'alma, the kedo Omer v'hagolza ahach mosa gufa. The Gemara in Bava Kama has a shayla about whether chazusa milsehi or chazusa lav milsehi. Do I assume that color is significant or color is not significant? The halacha is v'heishivas hagazela asher gazal. That if I steal an object, I should return that object to you. But the halacha is I return the object ke'en shegazal. I return the object only if it is the way it was when I stole it. But if the object underwent a shinui, if there's a real significant change in that object, so then the halacha is I do not return the actual object, I return the value of the object. Right? That's basically Perek 7 and 9 of Bava Kamma are fleshing out this idea. That the halacha of Hashavas HaGezeila, in the sense of there's a mitzvah to return the actual item that you take, that's only true before there's a shinui. Once there's a shinui, you pay damim, you pay money, you don't return the actual item. As I state in the Gemara. The Gemara has lots of discussions. What's considered a shinui? Is a shinui Hashem a shinui? If I steal an animal, when it's a baby animal, it has one name. When the animal gets older, it has a different term. Now, ayil, tayish, right? Is that called a shinui? What's a shinui? So the Gemara discusses, let's say I steal wool, and the wool then gets dyed. Is chazusa milzahi or lav milzahi? Right? Let's say, for example, I steal your wool, and I steal your dye. So I owe you both wool and dye. Well, maybe I'm not mekayim the mitzvah b'heshivas hagazelo when I give the wool back, because now it's not the same item anymore, right? So I have the value, and then I have to cheshben out whether the price of dye went up or down since the moment I stole it. No? Yeah, that's the discussion of the Gemara. Whether chazusa milzahi or lav milzahi. So our Tosus is saying that perhaps dyeing an item is not considered hana'a because the Gemara in Bava Kamma uses this to prove that chazusa lav milzahi. And then Tosfos says also that maybe lighting a candle might not be hana'a, because since this is the normal way that you burn it, it's not called getting hana'a from the item, in the sense that you're getting hana'a while it is burning, etc. And we'll have to develop these ideas for a moment. But I want to just talk to you briefly about this concept of chazusa. Is color halachically significant? So this is actually a very relevant question in terms of, are you allowed to drink McAllen's 18? Does any of you know what I'm talking about? Scotch that is aged in sherry casks. Okay, so McAllen is a scotch, good. Okay. Scotch means whiskey that is from Scotland. That's the technical term. There are things called sherry casks, which are that they often age the whiskey in barrels that had a sherry in them. Sherry is a type of wine that comes from one region in Spain called Jerez, J-I-R-E-Z. And somehow in English, the Jerez became sherry. Based on how that happened, but that's what happened. Now, one of the big issues in Kashrus is drinking whiskeys that were aged in sherry casks, because sherry is stam yenom, and the stam yenom is going to be, is treif, this treif wine in the walls of the cask. And when I age my scotch in that cask, so the flavor of the treif wine might go in. So then the experts say, well, no flavor goes in. Flavor doesn't happen. And the flavor doesn't go in because, according to many poskim, stam yenom is batel b'sheish. Most isurim in the Torah are batel b'shishim, no? If you walk into my house and you put milk in my cholent, it's going to be batel b'shishim. But stam yenom is batel b'sheish. One out of six is batel. There's a discussion between the Shach and the Taz exactly what the parameters of that din are. But if it's batel chad b'sheish, so then there's really not going to be a problem in your barrels of, because you can have more than six times the amount inside the barrel than the contents of the sherry in the walls of the barrel. So far, so good, Naima? Oh yeah, it's very big.
Why do we put it in on purpose into a thing that like? And then
so here's the thing: I'm not doing it. The McAllen company is doing it.
Oh, okay.
I'm just buying it now. You're right. A kosher scotch maker should not do this. That would be aim about when this from a chutzpah. And one of the questions that comes up over here is like, maybe I'm not allowed to buy the Macallan 18 year or Glenmorangie 24. There's like a few brands of scotches that people, actually Rabbi Blake has an article in Contemporary Halachic Problems called The Whiskey Brouhaha. He begins the article by you like the title, no? He begins the article by talking about how there was something that someone, it's almost like, what was this thing that went around Twitter last week or something? What was that fake from magazine about the guys who like scotch and Machers, Machers magazine, right? So Machers magazine, as far as I know, it was fake, but Rabbi Blythe begins that article by saying, like, there is a certain type of guy thing that people are into fancy cigars and fancy scotches, et cetera, et cetera. Not me, by the way. But there is a certain type of thing. Now, Rabbi Blythe begins that article by saying that someone established the Glatt Kosher Cigar and Scotch Club. And Rabbi Blythe writes, even if it is kosher technically, which this article won't analyze, but it certainly is not glatt kosher. In the sense of, like, to get together to drink scotch and to smoke cigars is probably not glatt kosher. That's the basic idea. Now, let's assume it's bottle. Let's assume it's going to be, let's pass them like the Taz, that the Stam Yenam is going to be Batul Chad B'Sheish. So there's going to be no flavor halachically. But some argue, no one knows exactly why people age scotch in these barrels with sherry. No one is sure why.
For the color.
What?
For the color.
So it could be it's for the color, nachon.
Is it right?
That it makes it like a more amber color. Rather than being a lighter yellow, it's a darker, more amber color. Well, okay, that's grand. What about chazusa? Meaning, if there is color of something that's trafe, does that trafe up the item? That's a big discussion in Yerideya, which is really relevant to our sugya. The Shach Paskins and Simen Kuf Hey, excuse me, the Shach Paskins and Simen Kuf Beis of Yerideya, the Shach Paskins Kuf Beis Sifkat and Hey, the Shach writes that we paskin the chazusa milsehi, and if you have the color, the appearance of tarfis in food, it's treif. That's what the Shach paskins. All the other achronim jump up and down and they spit wooden nickels, and they say, Shach, you're wrong, because the din of chazusa milsehi is a special halacha by Orla. And the Gemara says it also by Shviyas on that same daf in Bava Kama daf Kufa. But it does not apply anywhere else. What that means, l'cha'ira, in, and this is by the simple meaning of Artosis. Artosis is saying, you know what, if it would just be a din of Hana'a, so color is not Hana'a. Color, chazus, is not significant. I need the special pasuk of Araltem, Arlasso, Arelem, whatever it is, to tell me that it's Usser. But ordinarily, it would not be Usser. That's the Yesod of Tosfos. That means it's a special halach. Again, the Pashtus is. There are ways in Lomdus to say that maybe once I'm Megala by Orla, maybe the din of Chazus is true everywhere. And that's obviously what the Shach holds. But almost all the Achronim disagree with the Shach. And they, almost all the Achronim disagree with the Shach, and they say that something that is Chazusa is going to be Batul. There's this radio program called Headlines with David Lichtenstein. Any of you know what I'm talking about? Oh yeah, it's a radio program, Samosi Shabbos, like, so the Headlines radio program one time interviewed me about scotch and sherry casks because I gave a shiur on it. So he asked me, is it kosher or not? So I said, listen, there's what to rely on, but it seems to me like we have to deal seriously with the issue of chazusa. So he's like, come on, chazusa, like, don't you know that no one holds it? Like, this guy's like a radio host, but like he really prepares the sugyas and he's out to get you. So the way he was out to get me is, I mean, you can find it like online, like this radio program headlines, and when they interviewed me about the sherry casks. So he sent McAllen 18 and Glenmorangie 24. He sent it to some lab to analyze what percentage of grape is found in these things. And it ends up being like 1 out of 14,000. It's like this infinitesimal amount. So he's like, and you're gonna tell me it's trace? Come on. That was like what this guy was saying. Again, Moshe Feinstein is making on it. Is making on the scotches. But it's not the most simple question. And part of the issue that comes up over here is the question of chazusa. Okay, questions, comments. Hi, Abigail.
Can we answer Joseph's question by using Rashi to say that the, like when it talks about Aser Bahana, that's of the tree, but when it talks about the dye and the feel, that's Daf and not the tree?
Oh, interesting. In other words, maybe the fruit is Aser Bahana, but I don't think I could say that, because once I have that gezeiras hakosav of araltim arloso espirio, that the shomer lapri is considered, right? The halachas of iser hana apply even to the peel. It doesn't, right? So I don't know if that will really help. I don't know. I don't know in the sense of I don't think so. Okay. So yes, Ms. Zaychik, how are you?
Thanks. Okay, so if the tzvia and hadlaka or whatever it's called. If those are just examples of hana, then I don't understand how like the limud of three aralim teaches that, because then it's really just, it teaches one thing and we're bringing examples of that one.
Yeah, so that's a very good ha'ara. In other words, if the Rashi that we have in Kiddushin who says kigon is correct, so then why do I need three psukim to tell me that? L'cha'ora, one is enough. If it's just examples of hana'a, yes, that's a good ha'ara. Obviously, in other words, what you're suggesting is that Tosis's kasha is true. Even if it's an example, why do I choose these examples? Maybe that's what Tosis is asking.
Or like, why does it even need to give an example? Because we haven't been giving examples up until now.
Exactly, right? So why do I need the pasuk? Why do I need to give an example? I know what hana'a is, right? So you're making a fine point, is right that Tosis is asking the question, even if you hold its examples, Tosis is asking still, why do I give these examples? Right? That's a very good point.
Well, the way I understood the Gemara to begin with, that the three Arelim was just that, like, it's emphasizing it. So that's how we learn Hana'a. But I don't think it's that, like, the three Arelim are teaching three different things.
Okay, but it is a little bit strange that I need three psukim to emphasize that something is Aser B'Hana'a. That is slightly strange, no?
Yeah.
And just say it's Aser B'Hana'a, and that should be enough. And that's exactly what's bothering Tosfos. So Tosfos is leading in the direction that I would have thought that Sevilla is not considered Hana'a, because Chazusa Lav Milsa. That's the point that Tosfos is getting at. Kamash Malon the Pasuk, at least for Arla purposes, that Sevilla is Hana'a. That's right. That's really what we're getting at. And then we just gave the example of Glenmorangie. If you want this headlines thing, he published two volumes. So, I mean, this interview with me is like printed in like the second volume or something. You can probably get it in the library somewhere if you really are interested. He has some interesting topics. He's a cool guy. But David Lichtenstein, you could Google him. He's worth like $20 billion or something like that. He's
whoa.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
He's like one of these Talmud Chacham type of multi-millionaires.
He's worth $1.7 billion.
It should happen to all of us. Okay. That's a bracha, by the way. That's not like, okay, Chavre, have a good night, have a good job. I'll try to give additional makoros for tomorrow, and hope everyone is well.
Thank you.
Both of.
Thank you.